Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We've been talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com, about making Sunday special. In order to continue our exploration of this important subject, we're turning to Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts from 1987, where Dr. David Maines talks about this very subject. We hope you enjoy this look back at a previous broadcast and also will glean from it the kind of information that will help you as a pastor realize how important it is to teach your congregation to make Sunday the high point of their week. David, share with us what you have for today.
Church bells. In times past, they called worshipers to God's house. In times past, bells announced the hours of the day. Bells signaled the death of a monarch or the birth of a prince. When fire broke out, pealing bells called for help. Many bells meant gather quickly, an enemy approaches. And all this May, we are using the sound of church bells to send a new challenge out across North America from the chapel of the air. Hi, good friend. David Maines here greeting you along with my wife. That's an exciting sound, all those church bells ringing. We'll see that the same bells are struck again later in the broadcast. Promise. Karen, do you know what makes a bell sound? The name of the piece that's the part of the bell that gives the noise factor?
You mean the clapper?
Yeah, I didn't think you'd be able to get that. Now I have a harder question, all right. Do all bells have clappers?
What is this, bell pedagogy? Do all bells have clappers? Yes, how else would a bell sound? They've got to have something that makes the
made
noise.
Made your first mistake.
Did I just flunk the class?
Yes, some bells are struck outside. They don't have a clapper, but a man hits them with a hammer.
Uh-huh.
Or if you've seen the travel posters, there's that log that's horizontal, kind of a wooden beam, and they pull it back, swing it by a rope, and then it whangs against
David,
the side of the
David,
bell.
David, now that's a gong.
Karen, just a minute. Look, this is the encyclopedia here. I got the page. That is a bell that log is striking. Do you agree with me
You're
or not?
Right. That's a bell.
Okay. I have a more relevant question. Probably strike gongs too, but anyway. What kind of a clapper or hammer is needed for churches throughout the states and provinces of North America to sound forth the news that the presence of the living Christ is again being experienced?
Oh, I've got my hand up. Mimi, I know.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, it's the Sunday challenge that the Chapel of the Air is issuing this whole month of May.
You came through with flying colors there. That's exactly right.
Do I get an A in class? This is a wonderful idea that we've worked very hard to conceive, a pragmatic, practical means by which people can begin to ring them bells.
Okay. Well, we're going to read to you what the Sunday challenge is, but first I want to read to you from Scripture. This gives us a flavor. This is Isaiah. It's chapter 58. He's writing about the Sabbath. We're talking about Sunday. Same thing, just a different day. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth.
That Isaiah, he issued this Sunday challenge years, centuries ago before we even came up with the idea, but that's great. That's exactly what we're saying.
Yes, and we're talking about Sabbath principles that relate to the Lord's Day.
That's exactly what we're doing, David. We're saying we want to observe the Lord's Day Sunday, bringing the Old Testament Sabbath understanding of holiness and specialness and set-apartness and delightfulness into our Lord's Day observance. So we're hoping that that's what this Sunday challenge will do.
I think it does. It reads, joining with God's people throughout North America, I will, one,
this is dong, dong.
Okay, choose to make Sunday the high point of my week. We have talked about that so many times, but we're going to circle back around once again in just a moment and talk about how to make Sunday the high point of your week.
I will, number two, begin my Sunday preparations on Saturday at the latest.
Very practical again. Not that difficult, but we fix in our mind, we're going to begin to prepare and do practical things so Sunday doesn't become a last-minute affair. Number three, promise to set aside a regular weekly time of prayer for my church leaders.
And number four, expect God to honor my obedience with the reality of His wonderful presence when our church gathers.
And that expectation is realistic. Let's go back to number one. Choose to make Sunday the high point of my week. We've talked about it so many times, but let's pretend we have a listener who has never before heard us mention making Sunday the high point of the week. How do we help that individual?
Well, let's go back to where we began to learn about this. We had worked for 10 years in an inner city church, and part of the work of that church was to create meaningful worship. But you were the pastor, and by the fact I was married to you, we were the staff or part of the staff. So we had a great deal of influence as far as the worship of that congregation, and we did create or help to create meaningful worship. When we resigned to come to the Chapel of the Air, we were given a trip to Israel by that congregation. It was a lovely, lovely farewell gift. Now, the Mainses are rather obnoxious and needing to do things differently than other people, so we decided we wouldn't take a Christian tour to Israel. We wouldn't import our Christianity, although that's fine for other people, but we would take a Jewish tour. And on the tour bus, about midpoint in the week, Wednesday, we begin to hear our new Jewish friends saying, "Ah, Shabbat will be in Tel Aviv. Shabbat will be in Tel Aviv."
They were looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it. And we heard that quite a bit. We were invited to attend the Sabbath meal, which begins on Friday evening at sundown. And, of course, the Jewish Sabbath goes from Friday evening to Saturday evening. And all I can say was it was a holy moment. There was something very powerful in that observance. And it was so powerful and so different from what we had experienced that it challenged us to begin to do research on the Jewish tradition.
Part of what made that exciting for those Jewish people is that they really anticipated the Sabbath coming. And when I got back, I began to do research and realized that for the Jew, Sabbath is so special, it is the high point of the week that mentally it takes them 3 days to prepare for it, then to experience the wonder, or to use the word from Isaiah, the delight of Sabbath. Then it takes them 3 days just to reflect back on the beauty of what has happened. So there's this 3 days of building toward the high point of the week, and then 3 days reflecting back on its wonder, then beginning the whole process once again. Now, everyone has a high point of the week, that to which they look forward with keen anticipation.
For many people, that's Friday after work. They're off of work. And that's their high point of the week, or a Saturday morning sleeping in, or it can be an activity, or a weekly meeting of a small group of friends.
Maybe it's a hobby, Karen. Maybe it's they enjoy going out to a good restaurant with friends, and that's something they really like, look forward to, but not too many people. And I'm talking about God's people see Sunday in God's house as the high point of the week. That was the case for the psalmist. You remember he said, "I was glad when they said unto us, let us go to the house of the Lord." He was looking forward to it.
Now, we're asking these people to choose to make Sunday the high point of the week. That's an attitudinal shift. It is a determination. One of the deadliest blows to worship is the worshiper as spectator, one who is passive, sitting there waiting for something to happen to him. In Hebrew, in German, in Greek, in English, all of the words for worship have to do with work, worship and work. In fact, liturgy means the common work of the people. So we're asking people to choose, to work to make Sunday the high point of the week, not to be passive spectators.
Well said. That's number one in the Sunday challenge. Number two, again, is to begin my Sunday preparations on Saturday at the latest. Number three,
promise to set aside a regular weekly time of prayer for my church leaders.
And four is to expect God to then honor my obedience with the reality of His wonderful presence when our church gathers. That's what we really want. Now, say we get a quarter of a million people to sign our Sunday challenge, Karen.
Let's see, that's 250,000 people, right?
That's right. And the reason I chose that is that's about the number that were involved with our last 50-day spiritual adventure. But if we could get a quarter of a million to sign the Sunday challenge, it's going to affect the lives of those people. It will affect some churches, but will it affect the nation?
Well, I think we've still got a lot of little bells ringing, not any great big bell sounding.
Yeah, we don't have that log
hitting the huge gong.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that it's a good beginning. It's a very good beginning if we could get that many people who would sign the Sunday challenge.
The pastors are the missing piece. We need them to sound the bell on this theme of the Sunday challenge, just like we are here from the Chapel of the Air, and then something significant will happen. Do you know how many people, Karen, will be in church tomorrow, percentage-wise, in the United States? I don't know the figures on Canada.
Well, it's 42% who are in church weekly or synagogue, 42%.
That's a huge percentage. And when pastors begin to challenge those people, most of them never having heard of the Chapel of the Air, we will then see the significant change take place in our nation. In fact, there is a Sunday challenge for church leaders. Let's read what that is. Joining with other church leaders throughout North America, I will. 4 points once again. Number one.
Diligently teach my people that Sunday is a unique holy celebration. Number two.
Lead my congregation in confession for violating God's Sabbath principle through both legalism and license. Three.
Recommit myself to restoring the living presence of Christ as a primary focus Sunday after Sunday.
Four. Model to the best of my ability how to make Sunday special. And I'm praying for thousands upon thousands of pastors who will sign and date that Sunday challenge card. Where are you in this, my friend? Are you ready to be a part of that clapper that sets the church bells ringing once again?
Thank you for joining us for this time together. You found this SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's Sermon-Coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website where you will find resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and life-transforming services. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.